Why, hello. I am Crystal Craven, and I sing, I songwrite, I lead worship, and I am passionate about sharing what God inspires. And this coming up right here is your weekly devotional. All right, well, we are in Luke 23, and we're in the middle of the crucifixion as we're going through this devotionally. So we're going to pick up here chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, and it says, "One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Now here we're seeing these two criminals hung beside Jesus on that day on Calvary. And both were guilty, both were dying, and both had a front row seat to see the suffering and the strength of the Son of God. But one mocked him, joining the crowd in just their scorn, really. But the other, broken, repentant, and fully aware of his guilt, he responded with humility and with faith. This second criminal didn't try to defend himself or justify himself, and he didn't ask to be spared from death. He didn't attempt to bargain with God. He simply acknowledged and confessed the truth when he said, "We are receiving the due reward for our deeds." And then turning to Jesus, he made a request that humbly echoes through this crucifixion account forever. When he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now that word, remember, it carries a really deep meaning. It's more than just like recalling a name or a face or remembering some sort of fact. In scripture, we see that word remember, it implies an acting with intentionality. So, for example, in Isaiah 43, when God says that he will remember our sins no more, it's not that he just doesn't remember, he somehow has forgotten and doesn't know about them. It means that he chooses not to act on them. So here, this criminal wasn't just asking Jesus to think about him. He was asking for mercy. He was asking for a place in Jesus's kingdom, for grace, for redemption. And Jesus, bleeding and dying on the cross, answered with the most astonishing assurance when he said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now, here's the thing. The criminal would still die that day. His body would suffer the consequence of his sin according to human justice, but his soul was redeemed in an instant. There was no religious rituals, there was no time for good works, just a heart of faith and a cry for mercy. And Jesus paid it all. Before this point in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And this dying criminal was the very picture of spiritual poverty. He had nothing to offer, no way to make up for his crimes, and he knew it. And yet to him, the kingdom of heaven was given. Commentator D.A. Carson puts it this way. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is not given on the basis of race, earned merits, the military zeal and prowess of zealots, or the wealth of a Zacchaeus. It is given to the poor, the despised publicans, the prostitutes, those who are so poor they know they can offer nothing and do not try. They cry for mercy, and they alone are heard. And also, Charles Spurgeon wrote this: "The poor in spirit are lifted from the dunghill and set not among hired servants in the field, but among princes in the kingdom." And this moment on the cross, it shatters every performance-based idea of salvation. It's not Jesus and, it's in Christ alone. You don't have to clean yourself up to come to Jesus. You just have to come. Come in humility, in faith, asking for that mercy to be remembered. And he will answer with the full assurance of paradise, because he's already paid to be your salvation. And this truth goes beyond our ultimate salvation. You don't have to clean yourself up to come to Jesus. You just have to come. How often do we claim our salvation and our identity in Christ to then not come to Jesus when we're weak and weary because we're trying to clean ourselves up? Yet of his disciples, Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Let me ask you this. When was the last time you found rest for your soul? We don't have to have it all together. Just because we're in Christ doesn't mean that we're going to have it all together. And it only causes strife if we deceive ourselves and others into thinking that we do. It's okay to be broken, but don't stay there and wallow in it. Humbly come to Jesus, seeking his mercy and grace in faith, and then simply receive it and find rest for your soul. I would like to share the song, "Jesus, Your Name," in light of the scripture where the criminal called out to Jesus by name and asked him to remember him. It just brings to mind this song that I wrote about Jesus's name, and there is no other name by which we can be saved. And we're a sinner. We're sinners. You know, we're saved by grace, and Jesus loves us. And so this song is all about him. So this is "Jesus, Your Name." blogs, written devotionals, and more originally written songs like the one you just heard, visit crystalcravenmusic.com. And that is Crystal with a K and Craven with a C.